American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for a Monday, September the 26th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny Technology and Trends for Your Headspace and Timing. And micro machines. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me only if you drink 3 cups of coffee.
Drink it.
And go to my live journal. If you get to my live journal, you can get there by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. And that's the underscoring you'll ever find me being involved with, let me tell you. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and we can still be heard on SRN1 for a limited time only until the government shuts them down. And you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. And the best way to distribute this broadcast is to listen to it bit by bit on your whatever iPod or whatever kind of unit you're downloading it to, and then pause the broadcast and yell out everything I say. That way you're distributing exactly what I say in sort of a town crier sort of aspect.
And listen to it at 4 times the normal speed like that one guy did. Do you remember that?
Well, no, he says, I listen to most shows on double speed, except for your show, Sean.
Oh, right.
Which I can't listen to your show on double speed, which is actually kind of a high praise. I look at that because people are like, no, the baud rate isn't high enough, so I need to jack this shit up. Everyone should broadcast like Sean, because that's what he's saying there. He's saying, like, normally,
info.
I like everything coming at me about this fast, you know. And
Sean, he can handle it that fast.
And he can handle it that fast. I mean, I have never, ever gotten an email saying, slow the fuck down. I never have gotten that. You know, I guess I am, in fact, the future of Dan Rather. Maybe that's what's going to happen to me, because I'm only 32, right? You got to bear in mind, what about when I'm like 55,
and
like CNN's like, well, shit, you know, everybody else is dead. who are we going to get next up here? Let's see. Let's get Sean Kennedy in here. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Sound the klaxons.
Now, my beautiful and talented co-host, Samarian, is with me here. His birthday is on the 3rd of October. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
And how old will you be?
17. A spry 32.
A spry 32. And I will be turning.
Which is fucking old.
It is pretty gross, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Considering we're like more than like double the age of some of our listeners, that's like really disgusting.
That's bad. Yeah, that's bad.
But to be honest with you, I think most of our listeners are actually in their 20s.
Yeah, I think they are. It's a wide range.
It is a pretty wide range group, you know.
Like old people, like 60. People in their 60s.
Oh, God, that's ageist.
Double
our
age.
What an ageist thing to say. 60 is not old.
Hey, we're saying we're old, so.
Well, oldish.
They must be older.
We're too old to join the Special Forces. 27's the cutoff. You can't join the Special Forces past 27, I don't think. It's 27
no
or 29.
No Special Forces for you.
No Special Forces for me. Out of the Special Forces. Of course, bear in mind, too, that being Canadian has something to do with that, because all us Canadians are terrorists, don't you know?
That's right. We harbor them.
That's
over the place, under the couches.
Now, how's your weekend been? It's Monday. How's the weekend?
I predict.
Come on. No,
we got a lot of good filming done.
We did get some good filming done. We did. And any movies you've seen lately?
I just rewatched The Thing.
The Thing.
Which is awesome.
Which is John Carpenter's remake of
The Thing. Still holds up to today.
Oh, sexy movie.
And I love those kind of movies. Isolation out in the wilderness, and you can't get away, and these things are... You know, destroyed the unknown.
Yeah, they're coming to kill you. It's all good.
So awesome.
Yeah, it's a very good film. I went and saw. I'm sick of movie relationships. I'm sick.
What does that mean? What is movie relationships?
Well, it's like Star Wars broke my heart. It really did, because you know I fell in love with Star Wars. I fell in love with the whole Jedi thing. You know, Yoda and all that. And then, you know, in the early stages of the relationship, it was beautiful and wonderful, and everybody loved each other. And then, a few years later, things started to turn sour, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it just wasn't there.
The magic wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, and we grew apart, you know? And suddenly, you know, you're involved and you don't know what the fuck is going on. You have no idea how you got here.
And you keep going back to them over and over again. And you feel bad about it every time because you know it's not going to work out again.
Exactly. Now, the thing that really nailed that down is when I watched The Matrix trilogy again. The first film is amazing. But
it's
the
awesome.
Second two films are just, they're just whores. They're money grab whores.
Rehash.
Yeah, they're rehash. And they're like, how can we create a myth to, like, you know, just make a lot of bling, screen bling going on so that everybody buys into it. There's
and we'll
no
make
real
a cartoon, and we'll make a video game, and we'll make some comics, and we'll make a...
We'll make an MMORPG so that people can pay, like, money for the rest of their fucking lives. Oh, no, your phone's ringing.
You keep going.
I will, but I should mic you while you're on the air. Who is it?
It's nobody.
Who is it? Is it work?
It's somebody's work,
it's
not mine.
That's somebody's work?
Yeah.
Are you gonna phone him
it's
back?
It's my good friend.
Is it the other guy from Porn on Beta?
It is. It's the programmer from and keyboardist from Porn on Beta.
What is his online name?
He doesn't have one. He used to use Porn on Beta, but
really?
Since it changed into a band from a name.
Oh. Well, that's not very
it doesn't
good.
Work anymore.
Well,
just,
of course,
it's
the
just Corey now.
The old What the Hell fans would be able to pick that out.
They would. Yeah. I think it was on a show. That it was changed
yeah, we
it was it, that name was picked out of the air, but I don't know what show it is. And if
oh,
somebody,
well, you'll know soon because someone
I've
will
asked
email
it before.
You.
Oh I've, no, I have asked it before.
What? No one's told
no
you.
No answer.
No answer.
Yep.
Oh well, that's
you'd make my day. Really, it would make my day if somebody could nail that down. Which What the Hell episode was Porn on Beta name really solidified?
Really.
And I know it was on the air. I
really?
Know it was. Yep.
But no one is willing to do it.
Yep.
Well,
we can only hope.
We can only hope.
Somebody out there listening.
Somebody out there who cares for us. But anyway, back to the movie.
Yes,
thing.
Yes.
So I went to go see a cheap, slutty movie the other day. It was just, I wasn't into the relationship. I just wanted something dirty and fast.
Quick.
You know?
Yeah.
So I saw the first Transporter movie.
Yeah.
And that was like just totally slutty. But it was honest.
I've seen neither.
Oh, the first movie was just like, you know, Kung Fu guy driving a car, shooting people.
Right. You
know,
you knew what you're getting into.
Yeah, you got what you paid for.
Yeah.
You know, it was straight up, saw it there on the corner, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And I thought, hey, that looks all right.
Paid your money.
I'd like to get some of that. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, let's, you know, 2 hours later, you're feeling satisfied having a cigarette in the parking lot, you know.
That's right.
You
got your action.
You betcha. So Transporter 2 came out, and I thought, well... You know.
First one was good.
First one was okay. Know. Maybe the second one might be all right, too. You know, deep, you know, kind of a...
Revisit it.
Honest.
Yeah.
You know. Went in there totally unrealistic. Totally unrealistic. Oh. More unrealistic than James Bond. Okay, and that's some
that's,
pretty
that's,
unbelievable shit.
That's saying something. I hate James
yeah.
Bond movies.
I was laughing out loud. There's a scene. I'm gonna say it. The scene. I don't care.
Go for it.
Because it's a
people turn it off it, now. If you don't
a,
like
it's
it,
it's a cheap, slutty movie. The scene is a guy puts a magnetic bomb about the size of a DVD player, a modern DVD player.
Okay.
Underneath the car. Okay.
Okay. Good so far.
So
okay.
he's deep, you know, and he's gonna wait till the guy drives away and then hit the button and kill
done
him.
Done before many times.
Well, what he does, the transporter guy, he drives really fast, and there's a crane. Okay, and a well-placed series
uh-oh.
Of crates. Okay, so what he does is he hits the crate, car flies in the air, turns over, the hook hanging from the crane catches just the bomb, knocks the bomb off the car keeps twirling, lands on a star, drives off while the bomb explodes. I laugh out loud in the theater and say, yeah, I can do that. You know, I mean, seriously.
This was done on purpose?
On purpose, not parody. Yeah, he did that on purpose because he's that fucking badass. He can solve.
Maybe he is that bad.
Clearly.
Not even James Bond could do that or even attempt to even put that into a movie because it's so far-fetched.
That is... Oh, and never mind. I'm not even going to talk about the magazine.
Size of a DVD
like,
player.
The Oh, yeah. Yeah, like...
Ridiculous.
Oh, totally preposterous. And the chick who's... You know, I'm not even going to talk about magazine capacity. This broad, she's got automatic handguns. All right, that hold maybe.
Handguns.
Oh yeah,
okay.
Oh yeah, they exist. They're real. They're real.
Yeah, I know that they do exist, but there's not
but
many bullets.
But she changes mags like twice in the movie, and it's like she fucking perforates, you know, an entire skyscraper with two magazines. I'm like,
well,
oh.
Well, if she went off,
she's wearing lingerie. That's the best part. She's wearing lingerie, so there's nowhere to even hide the bullet.
This movie is completely pandering then.
Oh, totally.
Over the top.
Totally. And
like, if you want to do that, you got to set it in something like Matrix. It's not real.
Right.
And then they could do these things.
Yeah, right. But unfortunately, it was supposedly reality, and you've got this short-haired
no
supermodel.
Suspension of disbelief
oh,
at all.
Yeah. Brutal. Brutal. So, I enjoyed it, though. It's one of those movies that I left the theater. It was an honest, shitty movie. You know, and you're just, like, laughing because you knew going in it was going to be poo.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a Blade movie. We go see
you
Blade.
Know
you
it's,
know it's crap.
Yeah.
You know, it's there to, you're here to watch
You're
Blade.
Fighting pretty vampires.
You're like,
yeah.
Oh, no. You know, and the guy's putting on a sunglass like, now you're going to die. You know, that's what you want. You know, Mr. T in Blade. That's what we need. We need Blade old school. You know, with Mr. T shit-kicking vampires, that's what we need.
That would work. Yeah.
Oh, I bet you he'd do it.
Built-in audience, yeah.
That, he would totally do it. I would pay to have Mr. T and Blade team up.
Tell them they're demons from heaven or something.
No, they're vampires. Fuck like, it. He's all down with that.
I guess they fall into the Christianity mythology.
Which?
Do vampires work within that world?
Ooh, now, there's a trivia question. Is there any biblical reference to vampires?
Like blood-sucking, feeding on the
according
living?
According to the Masquerade, the original vampires come from Cain and Abel.
Okay.
Okay. And what happened was is that when Cain... I don't know how your biblical history is, but
I know of those two people.
Okay, Adam and Eve have kids, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel both are worshiping God. God doesn't like Cain's offering because it's just fruit and vegetables, and he likes Abel's offering because he kills a lamb.
So Cain goes after Abel.
So Cain gets all pissed off, goes and kills his brother. Yep. And then God's like, fuck you, you piece of shit, you killed your brother.
Get the hell out of here.
I'm going to mark you. And the mark he gave him, according to Vampire the Masquerade, was he became a vampire.
Oh.
And he went to the land of Nod, which I have a White Wolf publication called The Book of Nod, where it talks about his journeys in the land of Nod and all this kind of shit. Okay. And I've always liked the name of the land of Nod because it was the name of this kingdom that was like banished and forgotten.
But you're not sure exactly how well that ties in with the Bible.
Well, it does tie in with the Bible because according to them, if you apply the Vampire Masquerade myth to the Bible, which why not? What the fuck? Because they do. They actually, you know, you could actually tie that. Now, whether or not White Wolf would sue the shit out of Blade for tying into their stuff because they sued Underworld. For tying into their stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they weren't really happy. Because you watch Underworld, and it's like very thinly veiled White Wolf, you know, clans and everything. Yeah, it's really... not so much. But anyway, back to Transporter.
Yep.
Watching Transporter. And in the film, there's this... It's funny the things that stick out in your mind. You know, you're watching the movie. And the guy said that, you know, he's talking to the bad guy who's, you know, uber badass. And he says, the bad guy says to the Transporter guy, he says, you live your life by rules. And then it goes on in the rest of the film.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know, everybody lives their lives kind of by rules, or everybody should live their lives by rules.
Yep.
And, you know, occasionally I would come out with stuff, and when it was cult, there was the guidelines, and occasionally you throw out parameters and stuff like that. But realistically, everyone should have kind of a code, like you're a vegan.
That's right.
Vegan.
I can't remember now. I can't remember which the pronunciation's right.
Yeah, you're a vegan.
I don't care.
Right?
Yep, that's correct.
You're a vegan. I'm a vegetarian. You know, I'm a totally heterosexual over here.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, that's okay.
Yeah,
and I think
you
that everyone
said those two things as if they were completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
What? No, I didn't. They're just not similar. That's just an example.
Okay.
I'm not saying that. Jeez, you're paranoid. That is some paranoid shit right there. That's unbelievable.
That's right. That's
I awful. Never would question your sexuality.
Not at all.
Why would you even assume that? we've been filming all day, and I've been making gay jokes with Sim all day. So you're just because now we're on the air, and you're worried. You're like, what are you doing? Why are you locking the door, Sean?
No.
Okay, but anyway, I sat down. So I was working security the other night, and I came up with a list of rules.
Your rules?
My rules
in general. Your rules, okay.
Well, they're only my rules. I can't make rules for everybody. God, what a scary world that would be.
Imagine your rule is this.
Now, the rule is as follows. Only citizens have the right to vote. Yeah, that'd be rad. No, unfortunately, I'm not quite at Palpatine levels yet.
Not there yet. Don't have the force power.
Gotta get my island. Gotta get my ships.
I looked at those islands. Very cool.
They're tight, eh?
There's some pretty shitty islands on the list there.
Like, what do you mean shitty islands?
Tiny rocks.
Like, so?
Small rocks.
Well, yeah, you could put
there are some small ones that really couldn't do much.
You could put a good server stack on
that's
it.
That's cool.
You could build yourself a little concrete bunker on it.
Yeah, you could do small things with it.
There's things you can put there. You know, you could put a data haven on it. I mean, when you look at that shit in the South Sea there, that fucking sea platform.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a platform.
I think it's still within the realms of Canada, so some of them.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, they'd go out there and, you know, they'd have to blow it up or whatever. Send a harpoon missile. You know, those guys are dropping those things like dirt. But, yeah, no, I'm liking some of the islands. Once I get that going, that'll be
tight.
That's
cool.
But anyway, so I made up this set of rules, and I'm just going to go over them real quick here because I like these. These are the ones I'm going to try to live by. It's just me now. Not saying anybody else should do this. It's just me.
Just yours.
Just mine.
So nobody can comment on them.
Yeah, they're not really a you know, not in any order. There's no one more important than the other one.
Right.
Okay.
Not a list of commandments. Well, actually, the commandments didn't have an order that you had to.
Yeah.
List above all.
Well,
Mendes,
you know,
and you can skirt on the 10th one.
You wind up going with the whole numerology thing. According to the Bible, it's like, you know, all sin is equal. It's like, did you swear at your parents? You're just as guilty as a child murderer. You know, that's
oh,
it's
oh,
like
boy.
All sin is equal in the eyes of God. Wow.
Whoa.
Eyes of God are a little bit fucked up.
Yep. Go ahead.
Go hard. Always be ready to die. Now, this, at first, sounds like a crazy, crazy rule.
At first, it does.
But when you realize that if you're ready to die, meaning that you're not preparing to die. You're ready to die. So it's like if I die on the way home, I have no problems because I'm ready to go. Right?
You're cool.
And if you're not ready to die, you should be working on shit that would make you ready to die. Like, I should say sorry to my parents or something.
Yeah.
You know, and then
like
make
stuff
peace with
you
stuff.
Should really do, but you never got around to it.
Yeah, that should be
I'll
your focus.
Eventually do that.
So the rule is always be ready to die.
Yep.
Next one was never purchase anything that can't carry you or you can't carry.
What the hell does that mean?
I mean,
Exactly.
If you can't carry it, why the fuck do you own it? You know, I mean, if you buy music, right, you can carry that with you. So that way, I think that you can keep your possessions.
Buy small couches.
No. I don't even really believe in like a lot of that shit. Like, if you're gonna buy a couch, I mean, it's not super important. It's just someplace that you live.
Right.
I mean, you could lose. It's just stuff.
Right. So be prepared to lose that, because you can't take that couch if things go sideways. The couch
gone.
Is staying.
You're gone. I mean, if I'm gonna spend good money on a vehicle that carries me, it can carry
my
stuff.
Very useful.
Right. You see that? Yep. That's how that sort of works. God,
that's
works. A rule. It's a rule.
It's a rule. Right? Yep.
Never let someone else tell you what you need to be happy.
Right.
And that fucks all advertising right then and there.
It's out the window.
Yeah, done. Never let, I don't give a fuck. Well, you need this. Fuck you.
Really?
Do I now? Really? Yo, well, it would help you. Suck a dick. And seriously, have a bag of dicks. No, I'm not going to do that. Next one is make every action your only action. And this is that whole one-minded Zen stuff. So when you're driving your car, drive your car. Don't drive your car and talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Talking on the phone, talk on the phone.
If you're doing something, do it.
Focus your attention on the thing at hand. Yeah. Don't, you know, be all multi-minded. I got that. That was my, you know, compilation from the whole Eastern thing. A lot of Eastern influence going on, I have to say. Use the right tool for the right job.
Yep.
That was I was trying to find something to do with violence, because I think violence should only be applied in a specific counter. So there are certain times when you can only, certain things are tools, and violence I view as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use the right tool for the right job, and that's a piece of wisdom that's just kind of transferred.
Very universal.
It's very universal. Protect the weak, but do not encourage weakness. Now, I think that if people are weak, they should just be killed and shuffled off the map.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't be encouraged to be weak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
by
like,
protecting them, some people would say it would be encouraging, but by putting that statement at the end, it's not encouraging them because you're protecting all these people. Oh, we can just sit back then. Great.
Yeah. No,
you
can't. No, we are trying to protect you as much
as
we can.
That's a tough one to do.
Well, if you provide opportunities, it's like, here's your opportunity. Take the opportunity. You don't take the opportunity? Oh, well, I guess you're fucked then.
Because you'll never take it.
Because God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah.
Make a study of war, maintenance, and reading. Those are the three. Because maintenance covers everything for repair, engineering, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
War, because realistically, it's the only thing humans do. When you look at history, the greatest achievements we've ever had have come from war.
Unfortunately, it's a very good motivator.
You betcha. We are the most warlike species ever. I don't understand why we don't try to capitalize on that. It's like, we could be...
Oh, people do.
No, but that's my point. Why don't we, like, stop... Like, because I've recently, well, I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
But I'm thinking that, you know, why don't we, if there's ever any interstellar life, why don't we just become, like, you know, the soldiers of the universe? You know, we could do, like, the whole intergalactic mercenary thing.
So focus on the war.
We'll focus on war, but not with ourselves. We just focus on warlike and combat technology, because eventually we're going to run into aliens.
Yeah.
And we better kick their ass. That's my whole concept. Oh, they're going to kick our ass. I mean, that's just the way the world is. Now, forgive as much as you can. This is a funny one for me to say, because I get angry a lot, and I don't forgive much, you know, and I need to forgive more. That's one of my flaws. I don't forgive much.
That's a good one to go by.
I think you should forgive as much as you can, you know, and still be cool with yourself. If you can forgive
There's stuff that you really, you can't, because...
You just can't forgive it.
The bags of shit. And
you're like, well...
And there's not anything you're going to do about it. They
I'm
can
really
do about
sorry.
It.
I sexually assaulted 6 kids.
That's nice.
That's nice. Please get on your
knees
and think about rabbits. Yeah. The next one is destroy evil. Now, this one is a crazy one to have in there. People go, destroy evil? That's your rule? Destroy evil?
Destroy evil.
What kind of a fucking rule is that, Sean? Well, you see, I didn't say destroy bad things.
Yeah.
I didn't say destroy kind of bad.
Evil is like through and through kind of bad.
Evil,
it's like,
you can taste that shit. Anybody who's had real experience with really dark stuff.
It's cross-cultural. Everyone can feel it. It's
like,
that's evil.
That's fucking, that's some evil shit right there. and you want to destroy that. There's no place for that. Okay? And I thoroughly believe that. And if you don't like it, don't keep it as one of your own rules. But I'm down with that. If it's evil, you can taste it. Kill it. Yep. Destroy it utterly. And never trust anything you cannot verify. Which is, that's true for anything, for information. Because I've been bit in the ass huge with this one. Like, you'll trust somebody, but you can't verify the information. You wind up invariably getting fucked.
Yeah.
Invariably. So it happens. And all this kind of goes with this whole concept I got now, where I realize that politically.
Yes.
I am a human supremacist. I am. I was thinking, am I a race supremacist because I believe the human race is? I think, no, because that sounds racial. I think that humans are better than anything else in the world.
Really?
Off-world. Yes. Yeah, I would say that. I would say
that's
that.
A tough one.
No, there's nothing tough
better
about
than
it.
Animals?
Yes, by far. By a huge stretch. Oh, what are you? I'm a cheetah. Where's your space program? Can you make a car? Can you do anything? Any comms? What can you do? I can run really fast. Good for you. Can you do anything that humans can't do with our technology? No? Oh, sorry. Guess you're not as good as we are.
Well, you could say that animals are devoid of evil. Because they just do...
Fuck that! Animals are devoid of evil. You look at some sharks and you tell me some of those motherfuckers aren't evil. They're all coming up. They're not... See, good or evil is subjective to, whether or not... There's no good or evil in space until we put it there. This is what the statement is. People say that. Now, that said, I don't care what the animals got to say, okay, because we're the most important thing on the planet.
Yeah.
That's it. If it was a choice between, wipe out the human race or wipe out all the animals, if you had a choice between exterminating the human race and the animals would survive, because animals are beautiful and fluffy and all that good stuff, or... the human race survives. Well, the human race is going to survive. Sorry,
I'm voting for the animals, but...
What? Why? You fucking race traitor. You are a race traitor right there. Look at that. How can you say that?
Because they bring their own balance and we...
What balance? They got no fucking balance. They don't give a shit about balance.
They don't destroy as quickly as we can. We can completely destroy the planet right now.
I bet you we had a bunch of
elephants. And animals have no way to do that.
What, destroy the planet?
Completely, yeah.
But if they did, they would. Those little bastards, they
would.
You
know it.
Oh, yeah.
Those rabbits have that look in their eyes.
I think, especially the rabbits, man. Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm just saying now that I think that humans are the shit. That's all I'm saying.
And they're pretty good. Inventive, yeah.
Anytime that it's a decision between a human and an animal, it's the human, always, period. A human.
We have a bit of a bias being humans ourselves, so I understand that.
Now, I don't give a fuck. if you got the choice between the aliens, like the gray aliens, those little bug-eyed motherfuckers.
Yeah. Okay. Do all the experiments on the cows. Yeah.
Do experiments on the cows, picking people up, taking them in, raping them, right?
Yep. Not so good.
Not so good. Not so friendly,
Maybe it's their way of saying hello, but I don't like it.
I don't like it. You don't go over your neighbor's house and cut up their cat and rape their wife. That's not what you do. That's not a friendly thing to do.
Not good.
Not good.
And if they'd have done enough studies on humans, they would know that we don't like that very
much.
That's
right. Leave my asshole alone. Thank you. No more asshole coring. Thank you very much. I'm not too into that.
No.
So as far as I'm concerned, with all the saucer jockeys, shoot them down and cut them up. That's what I say. Because realistically, it's going to either turn to we are going to be subjective to them or they are going to be subjective to us. And they will be our slaves, if I have any say in the matter. It's like, you will stay back until you can keep your world until we get there, and then we will exterminate you and take your world, too. Yeah, that's right. Because I'm a human supremacist. That's the way it works. Humans forever. Humanity will, yeah, fuck it.
I can see the flags and banners right now.
You betcha! You betcha! I don't give a shit. Some weird little bug-eyed alien race. I don't care. Get the fuck away from me. We're taking your world. Like it or lump it. Welcome to the law of the jungle. Spanning from the hometown, capital planet Earth. Oh. You betcha. Me and my Starfleet. And I'd have no... Oh, versus what? We should live in harmony. You'll wind up on somebody's plate is where you're going to wind up. Eat or be eaten. Law of the jungle. That's how I say it. Now, with that... thoroughly balanced and intelligent commentary aside.
Yes.
I'm going to move aside onto some feedback here.
Good.
Dear Sean, you are right about everything.
It doesn't say that.
I know it doesn't say that. Dear Sean, sadly, I don't really have a news link to give you on this, but there's something that happened to me personally. Oh. I've read on a few forums that this is happening in more than one place and is not an isolated thing.
Where's the links? He's read it on forums.
We're all familiar with the practice of some stores asking for personal information, zip code, phone number, etc. Well, a few days, again, I was forced, due to the late hour, to use my debit card at a local Kmart store to make a small purchase. After swiping my own little plastic enslaver through the pad, it immediately asked me for my billing zip code. I immediately asked the cashier about this and was fed a line of BS about being a security feature. Well, I tried not to enter anything, and then all zeros, just before entering the zip code from the other side of the nation. Not surprisingly, the last method worked just fine.
90210, that's the one I always put in.
Yeah, especially if you're in the States. So, if you have to shop at Kmart, make sure you use a fake code. I personally use 11011. It's somewhere up in New York, if memory serves.
Oh, cool.
And that was from Fat Ninja, who
good idea.
Is tearing around the nation. Very, very cool. Thank you so much, Fat Ninja.
Good plan.
Dear Sean. Sean, I listen to your shows frequently, and I'm glad there's a person like you out there willing to say what needs to be said in the current dark state our world is in. You see? Another fellow human being. I bet you a human wrote this.
I bet.
I used to not care and just went on living my life not caring about what is going on. But listening to you has changed my mind and views on the subject matter. I'm so sorry that now you are entered into the paranoia state.
Welcome to the dark side.
Yep. You know, here you are. Won't be long. You'll be signing up.
You're out of the Disney world now.
Star Cruisers for us. I am going to link a story at the end of this email because I am scared for life after reading the story. This is the one where the guy was in the tubes. This is all over the web. There's a guy in the tubes in London, and he was like totally jacked for no reason. He's like, yeah, you're arrested and taken aside.
Ooh, nice.
For the Guardian. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really sad. It's all about, you know, the Gattaca British. Like, you have a backpack. You looked at people walking. You're arrested. You spent this whole day.
You're out of here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where's your clear backpack?
Could the U.S. be approaching such a state? Police technology enthusiasts as terrorists, suspects, make me believe that the government only wants to make the masses dumber and not have smarter people.
Revolutions, well, that's obvious.
Yeah, very much so. Revolutions occur when people open their eyes and become aware of what is really going on, and that is what they fear. Thanks for everything, and keep up doing the great work. Well, thank you very much.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, you know, it is a little scary sometimes, you know, but personally, I'm of the opinion now.
Yeah.
That our law enforcement brethren out there are not the problem. It's very important. We do not view cops as the problem. The cops are, again, the sharp end. We need to be getting cops on our side. And I don't mean by police organization. I mean the individual cop. You don't talk to Constable Leon. You want to talk to Richard.
Yeah.
Say, hey, Richard, just before, you know, and definitely not when he's arresting you, but if you have a friend who's a cop, be like, hey, man, how's it going? You know, and then you befriend them, you talk to them, you manipulate their subtle little minds so that they understand where it is you're going. Because otherwise, these cops are going to be like, I know some of these guys, and they're not really evil. Our intel we're getting is bad because I was there. I met these people, you know.
Yep.
And that's what I'm talking about, winning the hearts and minds of cops.
Because then they can influence up the line.
Yeah, and eventually we'll find out who our alien overlords are that are running the government and be able to turn on them and burn them in the streets.
Yep,
reptile people. Only if they're aliens, though. If they're people, that's fine. If they're aliens, they got to go.
Not good.
Well, it's listening to Alex Jones, you know.
Yeah.
And
you believe now that they've infiltrated us in the 50s.
Well,
and we're
David
run by...
Icke was talking about how he thinks all the royal family's lizard people. You know,
it makes sense.
Yeah, well, sure. You know, I mean,
they're pretty crazy.
They're lizard people. You know, if they are lizard people, you know,
I see that guy's videos on the torrents all the time, and I can't download them. I think I'd be like just laughing or afraid watching
the whole thing. No. I mean, come on. The royal family is not lizard people. You have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah,
okay?
That's a bit far. Yep.
That's a bit. I wish they were.
That'd be fun.
For the record, I wish they were, because oh baby, what would that mean if the royal family was lizard people? You know,
well, you'd get them and then you rip off the mask and go lizard people.
Yeah, it'd be like V.
Yeah, you watch, get some video of them eating mice and go ah.
There's a Photoshop, eh?
Yeah.
Dear Sean, that news about the porn squad is kind of worrying. This is the FBI porn squad, where the FBI now has a complete division dedicated to, you know, porn. Have you heard about this? Do you listen to the show?
I miss Thursdays and Fridays. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I have to catch up. I was really busy. I got all the rest of
that. Confessions. Okay. Well, what happens is the FBI has got like these new, like, our major problem is porn. And it's like not child porn. It's like adult porn. It's like regular fucking porn. Like,
what?
Porn is bad. Yeah.
No.
Apparently, according to the FBI. Yeah.
As far as I know, it's still legal.
Yeah. Well, not according to the Bush family. Yeah.
Great.
So,
that's
yeah,
good.
That's
yeah.
A, yeah, you might want to check up on that. But anyway.
Fuck you and your religion.
Yeah, pretty much. And he calls it worrying, which is a good term.
That's a good term, yeah.
He actually calls it ... worrying, which means that, you know, what else can he say? But on the other hand, it's kind of funny. Think about it, because those poor bastards will have to sit around all day watching bad scat videos as their job.
That's good.
I don't think there'll be a porn squad for very long. Do they even know what they've gotten themselves into?
That is very true, yeah.
Because we could just, as WOGs, as responsible citizens, we could email them and say, Dear National Porn Squad.
Look what we found.
We believe that these sites may be decent. You may want to check them out.
Send them the most hideous, heinous sites.
Oh yeah. And, you know, the guys...
And make sure they're foreign because they can't do anything about
them. The guys from Something Awful are like, oh, man, I just... No, you know, like stuff like that. Dear Sean, about the refugees in Rhode Island. Now, this is interesting stuff. This is from the Rhode Island... The refugees from the hurricanes and all that stuff.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, first of all, I happen to know quite a bit about this situation because these people are moving into Navy housing. Now, the people who were sent here... Now, the people who were sent here did not have an option. These were the ones who were forcefully took from rooftops, placed in handcuffs, and escorted to the flight here.
Okay.
They were not told where they were going unless they were already on their aircraft on their way here. So they weren't told them where they were going. They just said, get off the, go in here. That's it.
Right. They're just told where they can't be.
Second, the ABC article mentioned nothing of the nature of the warrants on the people sent to Rhode Island. Only the ones sent to South Carolina. We, local military families, were notified after the fact that over half of the refugees were, in fact, criminals, is what they were saying. Now, why would they release the general populace that half the refugees were criminals? But also, at least half of the people sent here with criminal records and warrants were listed as sex offenders. Now, why would you send people to a military facility where there's family housing... And then inform everyone there that they're sex offenders. Why would you do that unless you wanted to promote violence?
Yeah, that's the only outcome.
I mean, now, where do you think that's going to go? Hey there, U.S. Army Ranger. Or, pardon me, Navy, right? So, hey yep. there, Marine. Hey there, Navy SEAL. Your neighbor is actually currently a sex offender.
It's okay with you? Okay.
You know, like, just to let you know.
And in the middle of the night, dot, dot, dot.
I'm in no way trying to be judgmental about the people sent here. As I've said before, most people who came here didn't want to leave in the first place. Now, is there any wonder why? And this was just my thoughts, sent in by Caberwood. Well, you know. So, it's interesting how it seems to be kind of a, you know, people are forgetting that suddenly they're not Americans anymore. They're refugees.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that creative that suddenly they're refugees?
They've tried to avoid that word in the media.
Have they?
In some media.
Yeah, I don't know if they are. I don't know if they really are.
That's not a proper term.
Because it's like the refugees. They're hurricane refugees.
They're still in the same country.
They're American refugees from another city, and all the other cities are like, whatever, fuck them, man. Fuck them. Fuck the refugees. Whatever. Who cares, man? That's totally what the mentality is.
Doesn't foster hospitality very much.
Not so good, no. Now, sort yourself out. I don't have one, but I do have an opinion piece, which God knows... I don't like to give my opinion about things. But
nope, you're very...
When they ask, you know, I'll say so. Dear Sean, I've been listening to your Tales from the After Now, and I've enjoyed it immensely. Thank you.
Good.
Again, great delivery. Again, I try. In a monologue, you mentioned the ability to take a punch was more important than the ability to deliver one. Yes, I've said
that
a lot. I got it from a Savage Sword of Conan comic book. This quote reminded me of a martial arts demo I saw on the Discovery Channel. So I looked it up online. The organization is called Jukokai. The art is called Combat Kai. Allow students to take punches to the throat, crotch, ridge, and sternum, blah, 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 blah. I wish I could have found the Discovery Channel demo on the video, but I found some other videos on their website. After watching the videos, I have to admit it is impressive. I was curious on your thoughts. Now, I get this kind of stuff a lot.
A lot of martial arts do that.
Yeah, well, they all do that.
Yeah.
They all do that. Now, it's kind of like this. When it comes to martial arts, and I'm going to piss a lot of people off with this, okay? Bruce Lee had it nailed down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A punch is a punch is a punch. After that, it's all technique.
Yes.
Okay. So, as far as I'm concerned, if look at your body type. If you happen to be Samoan, okay, don't take, say, you know, capoeira, you know. If you happen to be Brazilian, don't take sumo, unless you have to be built like a sumo wrestler.
That's right.
Now, you could apply this same thing to martial arts everywhere. Anytime you train in drills. If you look at like the Bruce Lee Jeet Kune Do concepts, which it is really a martial arts, a technique of training, so everything goes midbrain. It's about drills. It's about practice. So there is no one magic marketed martial arts style that's better than all the other ones. It's just it has a lot to do with the individual and how well you train. That's it. A punch is a punch is a punch is a punch.
Yep.
So beyond that, it's about drills and techniques. So don't fall for any of these like, take our course and you'll be a ninja. No, that shit doesn't work. It takes a lifetime of dedication. I don't give a fuck what you say or who you are. Unless you train seriously and disciplined for a long period of time, you're never, ever going to find anything. So don't go spending big money to go learn Krav Maga or whatever else is the flavor of the week.
Yep.
Make sure you find somebody local. Look at your instructor. Make sure your instructor is switched on. And if they're not in shape and they're not, you know, walking the talk,
yep,
then get the fuck out of there, because otherwise it's a money grab.
And there's lots of them, so just keep on looking.
Tons. And videos don't cut it. Okay, for martial arts instruction. I'm sorry.
Sit on your couch all you want watching the videos. It's not going to do it.
It's not going to cut it, unless they're Bruce Lee movies, in which case they really do cut it because they motivate you to go learn shit. Anyway, now into Space War news. Pig Monkey sent this one in to me, which I think Pig Monkey sent it in to me. It seems that the U.S. military is bracing for future attacks in space.
In space.
Because,
from
you know,
space?
They're worried about space attacks. Whoa. What do they know?
They know something.
And the Air Force has deployed an electronic warfare unit capable of jamming enemy satellites. The general in charge of space defense says, "You can't go to war and win without space." Said, that's a quote.
Wow.
Said General Lance Lord. Wow, what a great name.
That is a good name.
I am Lance Lord, the first space general.
That is good.
He's a 4-star general in charge of the Colorado-based Air Force Space Command. No shit.
What the hell? Really?
General Lord of the of Air Force Space Command.
Wow.
That guy's the
I didn't know that existed.
He's the coolest dude ever. That guy, General Lord, said in an interview with the Washington
you
Times.
You can't go to war and win without space.
That he said with the Washington that his command plays a key role in monitoring space, protecting satellites from attack or disruption, and preparing to carry out strikes on enemy spacecraft.
That's awesome.
That's what he fucking said. General Lord said the United States has a major strategic advantage over other nations' militaries because of satellite communications and intelligence capabilities. So we've got to protect that advantage, he said. We're not talking about the weaponization of space. Oh, no.
No.
We're talking about massive satellites attacks coming over the horizon or anything like that. This is really a way to understand the space situational awareness. Who's out there? Who's operating? We understand that. I'm not buying it, General Lord.
He's bracing for an attack from aliens.
Listen, I don't know about that. He's definitely going like, yeah, well, we're going to shoot down any other fucking satellites that come down the pipe. Yep. You know? We understand that jamming has gone on and that other things have occurred, and we watch them very closely.
Other things.
Like alien abductions, General Lord. He declined to identify specific nations that are working on anti-satellite weapons. But you can bet those terrorists are. There'll be terrorist nations working on anti-satellite weapons.
Terrorist in space?
I can't shell 30 miles away, but I'm working on shooting down a satellite.
Oh, yeah, they got it under control.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I think they're worried about China. I'm just going to go major shot in the dark.
China's getting into space? Heavily. Heavily.
Who else is doing it? Nobody. Except for Japan.
I think there's another one. I can't remember.
No.
No? Not at all. Just China.
So it's China. Anybody else making a move for space? No. China.
Nope. Okay.
China and China. Because everybody else is... Well, Russia, right? They're sending their guys. They got the tourism thing. $25 million a shot. You get to go to space.
So there's China and Russia.
There's China and Russia.
Not many choices there.
Not a lot of choices. Russians, kind of boring. Nobody really talks about Russia anymore. What the
except
fuck?
Ranger.
What's he going after here? He doesn't like the whole space weaponization thing. What a crazy fucking dog. Anyway, I don't know if that's coming through. Probably not, but my dog just freaked out and started barking at me for no reason. Maybe he's turned on me. That's it. Oh, no, it's true.
It's all true.
Now, on to book burning news. Here's a good one. Federal officials are investigating how National Archives documents of interest to Indians suing the Interior Department were found discarded in a trash bin in a waste basket. These are documents that the Indian nations are, like, looking for. This is evidence.
Oh.
And it was all found in a dumpster. Yeah.
Not good. Protect the docs.
The discovery came to light on September 1 when archive staff noticed federal records in one of the trash bins behind the National Archives building near the Capitol.
Oops.
They're notified the Archives Inspector General, Paul Branchfield, whose staff recovered the documents. They found at least a portion of the documents were Bureau of Indian Affairs records dating from the 1950s, according to Jason Barron of the Archives Office of General Counsel in a letter last week to an Interior Department official. Bratchfield's office began investigating, and what appears to be Indian records were discovered in a waste packet in the stack area at the main archives, Barron wrote. Taken together, the two dumping incidents may be intentional acts aimed at unlawfully removing or disposing of permanent records from the Interior Department. Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
What, are you surprised by this? Wow, the American government fucking over the Indians? Oh, is it possible? How is it possible? My God.
But they didn't do a very good job.
It's not like they totally conquered those people and mass exterminated. Now they're throwing out their records? Oh, my God.
That's absurd.
Unbelievable. You know, well, it's almost a non-news story, but I figured I had to cover it. Because, you know,
won't be heard many other places.
Yeah, you want to talk about genocide? Let's talk about, you know, the American policy towards the Native American. You know,
yeah. I mean, yeah, yep. There's some genocide.
Calling a spade here. Yeah, that's what it is. Now, in censorship news, this was sent in by Nightfall Gemini.
Okay.
A handbook that offers advice to bloggers who want to protect themselves from recrimination and censors has been released by Reporters Without Borders. Now, Reporters Without Borders is a good organization.
Okay, I think somebody else released something like this as well earlier. Can't remember, ACLU or some other organization online.
The EFF.
EFF, yes. EFF, they did something similar as well.
A little bit different.
That's good.
The Media Watchdog says it gives people who want to set up a blog tips on how to do so and how to publicize it, as well as how to establish credibility, which, of course, I have none of. It also offers advice about writing blogs from countries with tough media restrictions, such as Iran and China.
How to get not thrown in jail.
How to not get fucked by your government.
Yep.
The handbook was part funded by the French government. Very weird.
That is interesting.
Hmm. Key international bloggers, experts, and writers helped to produce the guidelines, such as the U.S. journalist Dan Gilmore and Canadian net censorship expert Nart Villeneuve.
Nart.
Bloggers are often the only real journalists in countries where the mainstream media is censored under pressure, Reporters Without Borders said on its website, which is very true. That's a powerful statement.
Yeah, when you consider independent that, reporting.
Oh, well, right? Totally. What we're doing right here. I mean, who else is going to tell you about the alien menace unless you listen to Newsreel?
That's
well,
right. You won't be heard anywhere else.
No, you'll hear it on Coast to Coast every goddamn night. But anyway, you know, it's good fun. Only they provide independent news at the risk of displeasing the government and sometimes courting arrest.
Courting.
Hey, arrest. How you doing, baby?
Looking you want to come over here? Yeah.
Yeah, come on. What are you doing? A clothing isn't really a word.
It is now. Yep.
Included. Good God, man. included in the booklet called The Handbook for Bloggers and Cyber Dissidents is advice on how to blog anonymously, as well as how to identify the most suitable way to circumvent censorship.
That's
very
awesome.
Very, very cool. Yes. It also outlines some developing ethical and journalistic values. So, you know, it kind of helps you out. So you
go check
like,
it out.
I don't like this person because they smell. Like, you know, want to avoid that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, in safe injection news.
Safe injection.
Safe injection suit from news from Thunderspud.
Yep.
Just weeks ahead of the flu season, amid worries of global influenza pandemic. We're all going to die from the flu.
Oh, every year, yeah.
Comes two new studies suggesting that our flu treatment and prevention methods may not be enough.
Not enough. Okay.
The first is the meta-analysis of 37 years of research that found that flu shots may not be as effective in preventing the illness in the elderly as commonly thought. Meaning they do sweet fuck all.
Ooh.
Money grab.
Yep.
The second study found that many influenza viruses have developed a high rate of resistance to the most common antiviral drugs.
Which is natural. You keep injecting the same thing.
Yeah.
The strong survive.
Sorry. They found that the flu shot reduced by 27% the chance of an elderly person ending up in the hospital with influenza and pneumonia. The results were better when elderly lived in nursing homes. There, the vaccines produced up to 42% of influenza and pneumonia deaths.
Awesome. Ship them all off into the nursing homes with you.
It's assumed to be 70, 80, or 90% in the elderly is what they said, but it's just simply not that effective. So personally, I don't recommend the flu shot to anybody. I mean, you got to make your own call.
Like you are kind of weakening yourself.
By what?
By letting your body not fight it off. But, I mean, if it's going to kill you, then...
Go get yourself some bites from some mosquitoes. There's nothing better than getting bit by mosquitoes.
Exactly.
Right? You know?
I've grew up playing in the woods and stuff, and I am totally... Never get sick. Ever.
Yeah, and it's one of those kind of things where, you know, don't listen to this program and then go out in the bush.
No.
Sterile, 'cause you'll die.
It's not that way.
But you want to, like, ease into it. You know, it's like work now. Now, in Desert War news, this was sent to me by my Mega Progman, and this, to me, is just really staggering. Okay. It's bad on a number of levels. If you want to see the true face of war, go to the amateur porn website. Now, that's fuckedup.com. For almost a year, American soldiers stationed in Iraq and Afghanistan have been taking photographs of dead bodies, many of them horribly mutilated or blown to pieces, and sending them to website administrator Chris Wilson. In return for letting him post these images, Wilson gives the soldiers free access to his site. American soldiers have been using the picture of disfigured Iraqi corpses as currency to buy pornography.
Whoa.
His website currently is down, by the way.
Whoa.
At Wilson's website, you can see an Arab man's face sliding off and paste in a bowl filled with blood. Another man's head, his face crusted with dried blood and powder burns, lies on a bed of gravel. A man with a leather coat apparently had been tried to run a military checkpoint lies slumped over in a driver's seat of his car, his head obliterated by gunfire. The flaps of skin from his neck blooming like rose petals. Six men in beige fatigues identified as U.S. Marines laugh and smile for the camera while pointing to a burned, charcoal-black corpse lying at their feet. Now, unfortunately, when you look at this and you go, remember when I said before that, like, you know, generally Western culture doesn't dance around dead bodies and stuff like that? It would seem that I'm wrong.
Apparently.
Clearly.
We just suppress that.
They do.
Yeah.
And this, to me, I understand the nature of hatred and warfare because it is kind of necessary to hate the enemy. Otherwise, you will identify with the enemy and all your guys come back with post-traumatic stress.
Or they identify them with them and they're completely useless.
And yeah, and
they don't
kill the enemy.
Do the job.
So hatred has a place in war where you dispatch the enemy and you have to go, right, you know, they came at me, they're shitballs, I zapped a shitball, that's it, we're done.
Yeah. They have to dehumanize them as such.
Have to do that.
Yep.
You know, otherwise these guys come back all fucked up. Now the problem is they come back home and they realize that, oh wait, you know, I was killing kids, and then it comes later and you'll have all the time in the world to think about that shit. So this particular practice here, I'm pretty sure somebody somewhere is going to get their pee-pee slapped pretty hard for this. I mean, at the very least, okay, I would, once the guy's dead, once the enemy combatant, be him a jihadist, be him whatever, once he's dead, even pedophiles, who I hate more than anything else in the world, you simply execute them, you bury them, and you carry on. You know? I wouldn't be gloating. I wouldn't be mocking it. It's a horrible thing, but I'd at least treat it with some sort of semblance of respect.
Yeah.
That where you killed someone, okay, and you've ended a human life. Now, be it that they were politically different from you, you should at least have respect for that so that when this war is eventually over, much as Canada and the Germans were able to get together and have a drink afterwards, I would hope that that would be able to occur.
That's right. These people have families. You don't want to be pointing and laughing at this dead guy.
All you're going to do there is, you're
just putting flames to the fire.
If you take photographs for your own personal records, fucking hold on to them. Don't show them to people because they don't have the right to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm just like, you know, that's a really touchy subject. War souvenirs, I don't know. It's always happened. It's always been there.
Yeah.
But it seems to be something that always gets blown and fucked up and everybody winds up, you know, people wind up getting hurt. So it's a horrible thing. It's probably unavoidable, but for God's sakes, you know, don't get involved with anything like this because that's just a fucking horrific story. And to be trading photos of the dead for porn, that to me is evil. That's all kinds of evil as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's bad.
Now in Mudhut news from Rogue Trooper, he sent me this one here.
Yep.
A federal judge in Pennsylvania will hear arguments Monday in a lawsuit that both sides could say set a fundamental ground rule for how American students are taught the origin of life for years to come. At issue is an alternative to the standard theory of evolution called intelligent design.
Oh,
proponents argue that the structure of life on Earth, blah, 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 blah. God
this again,
did it.
Yeah.
So this is going to court now. And if it gets the decision, there's going to be a lot of pressure on this.
Smart Supreme Court people out there that know what the hell they're thinking of. When
personally,
because if they allow one religion in, they got to allow them all.
I personally think that this is going to wind up going in the direction of intelligent design, and that Bush is going to use the same Mudhut influences that all these other countries, and we're going
to
be America, white and Christian and proud, or just Christian and proud,
right?
So they can use Christianity to conquer the world. So when you realize that the president follows these crazy rules, pretty soon, you know, you really can't fault anybody else for following.
He's the head of your country.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, in insane fucking piracy news, in Australia's million iPod users, apparently in Australia, if you own an iPod, you're breaking the fucking law.
Uh-oh.
A Herald Sun investigation has found, despite the popularity of the pastime, no legal method exists for Australian iPod owners to fill their player with music.
Ah, I see the angle now.
And they could face court of anti-piracy groups refusing to rule out suing users of the popular player.
Because you cannot download in Australia from the American iTunes site.
That's right.
Like, you have to be in America, you have to be in Canada for them to offer. So but that is the only way you can legally get it on there in Australia.
And that is absolutely nuts. I mean, it's totally, totally insane. That, you know, this is what these copyright laws, they're totally unenforceable. It's sick and weird, but that's what's happening. Now, something I do want to get a little bit more info on, because this is a sketchy story here.
Yeah.
About web tracking. Now, occasionally they get this thing about how they're going to track people.
Yeah.
But the National Security Agency has obtained a patent on a method of figuring out an internet user's geographic location. Now, does that mean a continent or what?
I guess so. That, you can get a continent from an IP address. That's easy.
Patent number 6947978, granted Tuesday, describes a way to discover someone's physical location by comparing a map of internet addresses to with known locations.
That's been used for years.
So why is this out there? I don't know.
It's easy.
Is this more fear-mongering?
It is. It's completely fear-mongering. Anyone can look up a geographic location. There's been tools on the internet for years. You type in an IP address, it goes, this belongs to this ISP, which is stationed in this location. Of course,
right.
If it's an AOL, AOL's all over the United States. It'll just say, oh, he's in the United States.
And he's on AOL.
And that's it. That's
right.
All you can get.
So,
period.
So it sounds like the internet's still free. It's just they're trying to make it sound like it's a scary place and don't do anything bad.
Exactly.
You'll get killed.
The only way they can find you out is if they go to the ISP and go, IP address? Who is it? And they give it to you.
And then they buckle.
All they can get is a general geographic location.
Especially if you're war driving. Because if you're war driving with a Candana, you'll never get caught. Thanks for coming out. They can only track to the location. So they can track it to the Wi-Fi router. That's it. They're not going to be able to track you from the Candana.
Exactly. And then you get a router that you can manually change the MAC address on. And you change it all the time.
Or if you've got a
boom.
If you've got a Candana, what you do is you hook it up to one of those X10 rotating cameras. Mm-hmm. And then you hook up another router. So you make yourself a stealth router. So one router feeds to the other router. And you can just log in to your Candana that's on the X10 camera pod, and you can just go around in a city.
Hide behind.
Yeah.
Layers and layers.
Yeah.
They've got the third satellite.
Oh, they got the next link. Now, our daily hacks today, one is how to live in your car, which is kind of useful.
That is very useful for people who are down and out at this point in time.
And this is a cool one here, sent in by Rogue Trooper, called Invisible Shooter. This program allows you to shoot photos remotely by sending SMS messages to your mobile phone or device.
You were talking about this
a
little while ago, so they can do it.
It can be
done.
They
can.
Point your mobile device camera at your target, launch the program, and you can turn the power off. You don't need to touch the device to take the photo. Now, when you send a special SMS message to your device, it will turn the power on, launch the camera, shoot the photo. Optionally, it will send you the reply confirmation message.
What?
Push upload the photo to an internet server, all remotely, without you touching it.
And the phone is off.
The phone is off.
This
it starts
is
off.
This
yes.
is frightening.
And then finally turn the power back off again on your phone.
You don't even know.
Don't even know. The photo they show is they tape one to a tree in the middle of the bush, and they just phone it, take the shot, and go.
Wow.
Scary.
And it saves on power, too. Like, on, picture, off.
Yeah.
It could do that for months.
Let's talk about the applications if you happen to be involved with a security company with something like this.
Yep.
Yeah, very much so. And that's all we got for you today. But don't worry, we will be back. Well, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive, because I have nothing better to do. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 66 people.
You rock.
For the month of August. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air because you enjoy it, and after all, you really should donate, please visit mantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab, because believe you me, every little bit helps.
Yes.
And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album What in the World, Volume 5. Big shouts out to Faith, who sent me that album. Thanks so much.
Very jazzy, very laid back.
I'm digging it. Yeah, it's very grooving. I'm going to leave you now with Free Your Hate by KMFDM from their new album called Do Rock. I believe it's called Do Rauk.
Rook.
It's the new KMFDM.
That's right. Look it up.
How are we doing on the book sales?
Excellent. Very few left.
Very few.
Almost gone. That's it.
How many is very few? Less than 50?
Under 50 now.
So if you want to get Bloodstained Rabbit, we still have some copies, but definitely go check it out. And yep. I think Dave still has some copies of Patrolling.
Yes.
So you want to go down and check those out as well.
And the new Patrolling, extremely soon, before the end of September.
Ooh.
Before the end of September.
Wow. Patrolling Season 2.
Yep. Patrolling Season 2, Episode 1.
Well, you can't mess with that.
No. And it looks good.
Well, until tomorrow then, that's what servers say. End of love.
Let's recognize these people for what they are. They're the same thugs and hoodlums.